This is Pauline Jennings, and you're listening to Musician Talk. My guest this week is Mary Claire Stroh. Professional musician, songwriter of her own tunes and custom songs she's commissioned to write. Today we'll find out what this entails. And she gives music lessons at her studio in Faribault. Using her playful melodies and acoustic guitar, Mary Claire aims to captivate her audience with her highly creative original songs that both acknowledge pain and encourage joy. Impressively, she does all of this while raising four kids under the age of three. There's a lot to talk about, so let's get to it. Let's talk with Mary Claire Stroh. Welcome, Mary Claire, to Musician Talk. I'm very pleased to have you on today.
Thank you.
So we're just going to jump right in. And why don't you tell me when you started singing, when you started playing, when you started writing songs, all those kind of things. Just kind of take us through your musical journey.
Yeah. So growing up, I grew up in a very musical family. My dad used to travel with a band called Radix back in the 90s. And so I grew up with music. He was a songwriter as well. He plays guitar and piano. So from a young age, I had a strong fascination with music and could repeat things very easily when I heard them. And so he started to teach me. And then after a while, I was able to start getting piano lessons when I was like 5, 6 years old. And from Janine Hall, she's a professor at Olaf. And I have a very dear place in my heart for her. But I got piano lessons for about 3 years. They're expensive, as everyone knows.
Yeah.
And that's what we could do. And from that point forward, I was able to continue teaching myself. I really wanted to keep going with it. And I was surrounded by a lot of musical people that I could lean on for advice and help and answering questions. So I grew up with a father that wrote a lot of music. So writing was just normalized to me. And so I just right away kind of started doing it in sixth grade. I wrote my first song and played it for our sixth grade graduation.
Oh, that's
and yeah. And I totally screwed it up and had to stop and start over. And from that point forward, I was like, no, I want to do this, and just kept going and played for talent shows, just wrote, you know, those very embarrassing songs you hope no one ever finds.
Well, you know, to a certain age, and then you get a little older and they're gems, no matter how bad they are that you thought at some point in time. You know, when you get to a certain age, you go, oh, that's just so sweet.
I will take your word for that.
You're not at that age yet. You're not at that age yet.
No.
I promise
it's
you.
Still embarrassing.
That is great. So were you writing at that time on piano still, or had you picked up the guitar yet?
Yeah. So I didn't pick up guitar till I was about 15 years old, and I was off and on with it. I would quit a lot. The way my dad taught me was to just strum, like, don't do this, just strum down. Don't go up and down. Just go down, strum down, and practice staying on tempo and like get comfortable with how hard to press on the strings. And it was so boring. I hated it. I hated it so much. And now I make my students do that and they hate me. It's great. No, it's great. So I kept quitting and coming back to it. But eventually I really and started to enjoy it and, kind of just took it as my own. And, so by probably 17, I was playing guitar pretty well and, started getting gigs playing and singing places. Playing for a lot of churches, doing like retreats and different things like that. And so my junior and senior year of high school is when I started to play more professionally, like actually getting some money for it. And that was fun. I didn't start really going solo and having it as my job until I was like 21. So, but
wow.
Yeah,
that's impressive to be able to start doing that at 21. I want to go back to, you said you kept coming back to guitar. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think kept bringing you back to it?
So I know that I play my feelings out, and I was able to do that pretty well on the piano, but I found that I was able to take it up a level on guitar.
Okay.
I felt like I could be more aggressive on my guitar than I could be on piano. And sometimes I just needed that to get it out. And I played very aggressively for a long time. And it wasn't until maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. I'm 29 now. So it wasn't until about 4 or 5 years ago that I learned, oh, I can actually play really soft. And that sounds nice too. But it was like a way to kind of just get it all out for myself. So.
Okay, so 21, you said you started playing professionally and teaching also?
I didn't start teaching until after I had kids. That was kind of my new, like, okay, I want to be home a little bit more. I still want to do something with music. And I'm not traveling as much, so I can actually have some consistency with people. I've always really enjoyed teaching people here and there, like coaching on, this or that, music or not music related. I always found that I really liked that and actually considered being a teacher because of it. But I wanted something that I couldn't be a teacher because I didn't want to be in one spot for too long.
Oh,
And
that's a
so,
great reason. And you
right.
have 4 children under the age of 3.
Correct.
Okay, how do you
Yes.
find time for anything other than those kids?
That is the question of the day. So we had twins right away. And so that's where I kind of got stopped was the twins. I was traveling when I was pregnant for different things and I was really sick and I just it kind of put a bad taste in my mouth. I didn't really want to do that anymore. And I had an opportunity where a family with 3 kids really wanted lessons and I went and talked with them and heard them play. And two of the kids were, they just could play by ear so well. They had taught themselves so much already. They didn't really know anything about like music theory or why they did what they did, but they played so well. And it made me very excited because I could relate to that, relate to that being able to hear it and play it, but wanting to know more. And so I decided to give it a try. I didn't go to school for music. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, but I have many years of experience and, I was able to start working with them and they picked it up so fast and it was very encouraging. So that was where I realized, no, I can do this and I want to do it. And so
And
I
you do
started
know
to,
things, even if you haven't gone to school
yes,
for it. You do know a lot of
right.
things, right?
That's where I realized I learned that I do know something and that it does have value and people want that. And it's just, it's very humbling. I can't believe it. So,
That's
and now
wonderful.
at this point, thank you. At this point, this year I decided I really wanted to start teaching more now that I have 4 kids. And so I got a studio in the Fleckenstein building downtown Faribault. And I give lessons out of there now. I have 11 students.
Awesome.
So
Good for
yeah,
you.
it's perfect. I love it so much.
Right, and you can kind of plan it around your schedule of being a
Yes.
mom. That's
Yes.
incredible.
Yeah.
You said that you were traveling a lot when you were pretty dang young. How did you get those gigs so young?
Yeah. So I'm very involved in my church. I'm Catholic and once word kind of, it's a big community, but it's also kind of small. So once your name kind of gets out there, people start giving you calls. And so I was getting jobs at different places around the country. It was mostly through this group that I worked with called Net Ministries. Net is stands for National Evangelization Team. It's a Catholic missionary group where there's like 130 young adults between the ages of 18 and 28 that come from all over the country, get trained for 2 months, and then sent out for 9 months to go do retreats for youth. And so I got very well connected with quite a few people. So they just started giving me calls for different things, weddings, funerals, retreats,
Oh,
whatever.
how exciting at that age to be out
Thank you.
traveling around and doing what you love to do. I remember going on a couple of those retreats when I was in high school. That's before you were born, but whatever.
I did the traveling with Net for 2 years and it got me not only connected with those people I was traveling with, but the people that we were going to. So we would stay in a new family's home every night. So I was playing for people all over. And so I got a lot of really interesting connections that way. Still to this day, one of my students is actually in Ohio. We do virtual lessons because of that.
Oh, that's just
From that was
great.
like 8 years ago that I stayed with that family. Yeah,
Wow.
really
What great
cool.
opportunity. Let's
Yeah.
move to this first song called Seasons, that we're going to play and what the inception of the song was or your inspiration for it.
So, as I mentioned, I'm Christian. I have a strong faith background and I go to church weekly. And at church, you hear readings and stuff. And sometimes you hear something that kind of sticks with you and it just rattles in your brain for a while. And this was one of those. It's like I. It's the book of Ecclesiastes. I can never say it right. Ecclesi something, and it's the verse that's like, "There's a time for everything. There's a time for weeping, a time for dancing, a time to be excited and happy, a time for a loss." And I kept thinking about how reassuring that was, that like I wasn't crazy during the times where I really felt like desolate and that things were not going to go my way ever again. But then all of a sudden something great would happen. And I'm just like, what am I crazy? It was very reassuring to me and comforting to hear those words. And so I just decided to write a song about it.
I love the ideas that you talk about in it and the new way that you've represented that passage in the Bible, which has been used for other songs in the past. Mm-hmm. And your new take on it is wonderful. And I like that you add that there's a season for everything, including just to be. Mm-hmm. Just to be. Mm-hmm. And we don't mm-hmm. take time mm-hmm. enough for that, right? Just to be. And to be okay with just being who you are, right?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's easy to feel like everything needs to continue to be dramatic sometimes.
Right.
You know, like you need that drama in your life. Or that it's like, it's just nothing is happening. Like, I don't understand, you know?
Right.
Just to be okay with that. Yeah.
Exactly. And so who's all playing on this track?
So it's primarily myself. I have a friend, my friend Nick Wires played bass on this track, and everything else is me.
Wow. You are talented. Yeah. And how long ago did you record this, and where did you record it?
That's a good question. So I recorded this song in 2015. I was, or maybe it was 16, 2015 or 16. I started recording this one for a my first release that I did, my album, The Moon is Killer, which you can find anywhere. And I recorded it all on my phone. I had an iPhone 6 Plus and I had a two directional Rhodes mic that I plugged right into like the charging port of the phone. Used a very simple DAW called Multitrack. I had 16 tracks and that I had purchased for that. I recorded all of them myself. There's no like, you know, pitch correction or anything. I wasn't very good at punching in.
That's hard to do for yourself anyway, but then if you're not working on pro gear, I am just floored at the quality that you got just recording this
you.
on your phone. You must have done takes that were pristine, because like you said, you can't punch in so easily. Well, let's take
punching
a listen to
tough.
This song called Seasons by Mary Claire. Here it is.
There is a time for everything, a time to mourn, a time to dance, and a time to sing. There are seasons for you and for me, season to scatter, to gather, a season just to be. My friend, we are going through seasons, and we must press on, we must press on. I will build up when you tear down. When I approve, will you be my ground? We are more than colors and song, and we must press on. We must press on. Seasons.
This is Pauline Jennings, and you're listening to Musician Talk. You just heard Seasons, an original written and performed by my guest today, Mary Claire Stroh. So I love the harmonies in this and the sweeping feel. It's just, that's what came to mind, was this sweeping, big, open, like I'm on a field, overlooking a field. Mm-hmm. And that you added that hand drum, just added another layer. And then you have the breakdown section, which it's just many sections of interest and well done. And your voice is really awesome.
Thank you. I actually recorded that while I was on a trip in Nebraska at my aunt's house in the small town, Friend, Nebraska. And her neighbor heard that I was recording music in my aunt's basement and brought over his super old Gibson guitar and asked if I wanted to borrow it. And I was, yes, of course, absolutely. And I couldn't tune it. It wouldn't stay in tune unless I tuned it a whole step down. So this song is a whole step down from where it was originally written. But that's the guitar I use. It's the only song that has a different guitar in it. And I love that solo part that I wrote on the spot while recording it. But that guitar just made it sing. And it's great.
Amazing. Amazing. Wow. So tell us a little bit about your songwriting process. And we heard a little bit, you use your phone for recording it, but actually writing it, do you come up with lyrics first? Do you usually have a melody line first? What do you start with usually? Or is there no usual to it?
It usually starts with my words. I might hear something that piques my interest or, like I said, just rattles in my brain for a while. Maybe it's a phrase someone says or something that's going on in someone's life or my own life. And what usually happens is I'll either have one phrase or a situation that I'm thinking about. I sit down at the guitar and I just start singing and it just comes out. I have to press record on something because I can't stop and write.
Right.
I have to record it and listen back and write down what I was singing. But that's, it just all kind of comes at once. Terrible of an example it is, I like to think of it, it's kind of like being constipated where it just one day it all comes out. It's good.
Nice metaphor. We can all relate to that. Exactly.
It's like it's stuck and uncomfortable for so long. And then all of a sudden one day it just all freely comes out. And, sometimes it's just a couple of days. Sometimes it's a couple of months. So.
Wow. We're going to talk more about that later with the quote, because it's interesting that the parallels between what you just said and the quote that we're going to talk about later. So you also write custom songs, which I find an incredibly good idea. And I wonder where you got the inspiration for doing that. And then if you could tell our audience how you do it, what you do, and if your songwriting process is different using somebody else's words or somebody else's thoughts or whatever, however you do it, tell us how you do it.
Yeah. So I've been using inspiration, my whole songwriting career, right? Something inspires me and I write about it. And so finding inspiration in someone else's story isn't really a challenge for me. But I found that, I was writing songs for friends. Like they would tell me something that was going on in their life or whatever. And I'd just, take some notes that they were talking on the phone or whatever. And I would write them a song and they were very appreciative of it. And one day someone that was friends with me on Facebook asked, like, I didn't really know them. I just was friends with them on, how that goes. You're just friends on Facebook for some reason or the other. And she said, do you ever write songs for people? I want to give my daughter a song for her birthday this year. And I was like, I don't know, I suppose. And she's like, well, how much would you charge for that? I'm like, I have no idea.
Right.
And so I just said, whatever, I'll write the song and send it to you. You send me what you think it's worth. And she sent me $100, I was like, okay, whatever. I don't know what to charge for something like that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's always so difficult to figure that out.
Yes. She ended up loving it and coming back to me a couple months later with two more songs, one for a friend that was passing away and another song for her other daughter. So that's kind of where I originally was like, oh, people would pay for this. Like people I don't really know would actually buy music from me like that. And so then I started to share the idea out on, the internet saying this is something that I want to do more of. And slowly but surely, I haven't done too many custom songs. It's probably like 25 over the last 2 years total. For people that were paid. I'm writing songs all the time for this or that, the other thing.
Right.
But yeah. So it's still kind of a new thing for me that I'm learning how to really put myself out there with it. I haven't really
right. done you a very have good the job talent and the you have the talent and the chops to be able to do it artistically. It's that whole mm-hmm. marketing part that so mm-hmm. many artists struggle with.
It's terrible.
Just you don't like doing it. You don't know how to do it. It's just so let's market right now. How can people get a hold of you if they want you to write a song for them?
Sure. I have a website, maryclairestrow.com. You can send me a message there. On my website, there's a link to see what my process looks like, what I charge, and the whole thing works. You know, essentially you make an inquiry, you have someone or something you want a song written for. I send you a list of questions and writing prompts that you answer. And based on those answers, I form a song for you and I send you a rough draft. You read over the lyrics and you make sure there's nothing that is misrepresenting what, you know, your message that you're trying to put out into the world. And everything looks good, then I record a final copy and I have, you know, at least one instrument, sometimes two, one vocal, at least some harmony, depending on which tier you pay for. And then you have a 3-minute song. That's all yours.
Oh, that's fabulous. I would love to share with the audience a snippet of what you do when you do these custom songs. Do you have one that you could share with us?
Yeah, I actually just finished one up called Loretta Joe. I wrote it for someone who won a giveaway, and it's for her daughter, her newborn daughter. Aww. So she and her husband answered my questions just based on like their hopes and dreams for their baby girl and what they want to say to her and have this song that she can listen to for the rest of her life. So it's kind of written as a lullaby and just words from her parents to her. So this is the chorus of that song.
Awesome. Let's play that right now.
Loretta Joe, follow your dreams, will be there beside you, no matter what they may be or bring. Work hard, be strong, and lead a faithful life. I'll give you the world, oh darling, as you've given me mine.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I hope that inspires a bunch of people to go and order songs from you, because I think, you know, there are a bazillion things you can give people for gifts that mm-hmm. get tossed, get lost, and you don't care, get consumed, whatever. This is a lifelong gift. And I just can't express, at least for me, how important it is. And if I had a song written for my children, how precious that would be. So awesome. Mm. Well done. So I want to discuss this quote that I brought up a little earlier. And how mm-hmm. it relates to what you had said about having it dammed up in there and it has to come out. This is a Dolly Parton quote, who is a songwriter extraordinaire and also, by the way, an incredibly wonderful person. She said, "I write every day, even when I'm on a plane, in the tub, or on the bus. It burns in me. Songwriting is my way of channeling my feelings and my thoughts. Not just mine, but the things I see, the people I care about. My head would explode if I didn't get some of that stuff out. Not everything I write is good, but it's all good for me, like therapy." Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, she knows. She knows. She gets it.
So you have those same feelings. It just gets dammed up there and has to come out.
100%. I sometimes apologize at concerts. Once in a while, I do like a house show or something where I tell the stories of my songs, and then I show the song, and I usually have it in an order, like all the songs in an order that gives a progression of like what's going on in my life, right? And I usually apologize and say, "Thank you for paying to be at my therapy appointment. you are my therapist right now, and you're paying me. This feels a little wrong, but thank you."
That's great. Yeah, so. It's not only the therapy when you do it live, but just the process.
The process of writing.
It.
Yeah. Yes. 100%. I'm a journaler. I feel like most songwriters, I think you often will journal and write down their thoughts and feelings, not only because it feels good, but because later you can look back and use it to write a song in.
Right.
But yeah.
Songwriters, I think, as in general, produce a lot of more music and songs than they record or that they ever play out. And that there's value to those, mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. only learning by doing, but also the therapy it provides, getting your thoughts out.
Right. When I write a song about something I'm going through, the more I listen to it, the better I feel about that situation, whatever it is. So for example, I was, so my, for my third pregnancy, so we had twins first, and we had a year later, we had another baby, a baby girl. And then a following year we had one more baby. So that's how I have four kids under three and under. But we, for this fourth baby, I really wanted to have a natural, labor and delivery. So like no medicine, I wanted to do it at home. And I really wanted to do that because my last two were a little bit more complicated. So I started believing for that. And in the process, I started writing down like affirmations, birth affirmations or whatever. So I think people call them.
Yeah.
And I wrote a song with those affirmations, those things that I wanted to happen during my labor and delivery. And it was something that a song I was able to record and actually send to other people, like other women that were pregnant, and they used this song. But the more I listened to it, the more I like felt assured and like believed that it could happen. And I was able to do it. Thank God. It was good. Very powerful.
Very, very powerful. Indeed. You put it out in the universe and the universe answered, or you put it out to God and God answered, however you look at that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's beautiful. And the fact that you can also use that inspired you and comforted you to share with other women who are having that same, going through the same processes. That's really beautiful and powerful. Definitely.
Right. Thank you.
Let's turn to your next piece called Get Out. Speaking of powerful, the words in this is, they are very powerful and so honest. And they're there. I love the way you mix things on that little six plus phone of yours. I can't believe you did this. I mean, the mix is just beautiful. Your voice is crystal clear. You can hear all the words. And again, I really, really love your voice. So could you set this song up for us a little bit?
So I was pregnant with, for the second time with my third baby. And we were in the process of moving, and I was like 6 months pregnant, and it was terrible. I had these twin baby boys, and my husband's working a lot, and we're moving to Faribault. I hate packing. I hate moving. I hate packing. I've moved a lot in my life, and every time I hate it. And I think it's because every time I do it, I have to go through all my crap and like look at it all and be reminded of things. Like, you know, I have feelings attached to these things that I have. The things that I've held on to for years. And when I throw it away, I feel like I'm throwing that memory or that feeling away, but I don't want that thing anymore. And I don't really want that memory anymore, but it's just, you have to go through it. And it's just, it takes forever. And it's the worst. Anyone who's been pregnant knows, you know, your emotions are just a little bit different than normal.
Right.
I just was going through a period of time while packing that I was very upset, and I was having a really difficult time with it. And I couldn't get out of myself. I mean, it was so bad that the day that we moved, I had like only half our stuff packed, and all of our friends showed up to help us move. And I was just a mess. And they were so great. They just helped us throw the crap in boxes and get it in the truck, you know, but
I don't know how it could be anything but bad. 6 months pregnant with two babies moving. I mean, Calgon could not take you away for anybody older than a certain age. That is really a stressful situation.
So this song was kind of the beginning. I actually wrote four songs, and you can hear, so this is the first of the four, and you can hear the other three on Bandcamp. Is the only place that I have these songs. And the reason why it's on Bandcamp is because these songs were so personal to me that I wasn't really ready to share them. And so I've actually only played this song once live. So I've never, and I'm planning on playing it. I think I'm going to play it for the singer-songwriter rounds that we'll talk about, I'm sure, in a minute. Yeah. This song was the first one that I really wrote that had to do with my feelings around motherhood and like that weren't positive feelings.
Sure.
I had written like songs about loving my children and loving my life or whatever, but this was like the first time I was really honest about the hard things, the real raw, honest feelings around being a mom and how difficult that life changes.
Right. Oh, and thank you. Thank you for being honest about it. Oh, there are so many struggles. So thank you for being really honest about that and for sharing that with us today. So let's take a listen to Get Out.
Mm-hmm. was a really hard day. The sad hormones, they wouldn't go away. Couldn't help myself but indulge. My priest told me to feel my feelings, but not to let them make decisions. But I already let him down. And now I can't get out of myself. Everyone's asleep and I can't ask for help. I'm too involved to let go of these feelings. So heavy, so share my pain on the internet, but then I made fun of myself in my head. I wrote out my thoughts and then I deleted them all. Then I thought I could send my friend a text, but then I thought I'd see her tomorrow instead. But really, I didn't want to be honest with her at all. Now I can't get out of myself. Everyone's asleep. For help, I'm too involved to let go of these feelings. So heavy, so low. Whoa, whoa. Someday someone will hear this song and they'll ask me what is wrong, and I won't know what to say. My feelings are raw and my thoughts are strong, and I can't get away from either one. If you can't relate, I guess just pray. And now I can't get out of myself. Everyone's asleep and I can't ask for help. I'm too involved to let go of these feelings. So heavy, so low.
This is Musician Talk, and I'm your host, Pauline Jennings. My guest today is Mary Claire Stroh. You just heard her original song, Get Out. I love the build in it on the chorus, I think it is, where you added more of your voice every one, and it just makes the song build and adds to the power of the song. And that's true. It's like, how do you share honest feelings that perhaps culture doesn't want you to share? You know,
right. My friend Nick Wires that I mentioned that played bass on the other song, he played an upright bass for this song.
Oh, nice.
And he also added a classical guitar track. There's like, you can kind of hear in the background, it's like a arpeggiating,
yep,
chords that he's got going on there. And I thought that added a lot. And my friend Kate Gap is the one who played violin on it. She was great. I just showed up with my phone and she listened to it, and like, we had like one take. She just went for it. It was great.
I was going to ask, did you do all these different tracks with different musicians on your phone?
Yeah. So just the bass, and then that classical guitar track in the background, and then the violin.
Wow.
And the rest is me.
Wow. Mary Claire, that's awesome. All right, getting to the end here, and I want to hear if you have anything to share with us for best gig, worst gig.
Worst gig, probably I played for a farmer's market. And it was, I think it was like 35 degrees or something like that. And very windy.
Oh, no.
It was sunny, so that was nice. But I got stuck in the shade.
Oh, no.
And they didn't want to be plugged in. And I don't really know why I was there. But it was fun. I stayed for an hour. I lasted 1 hour and my fingers were done. That was not my favorite. But no. I felt like I wanted to stick through it, you know. So I was happy I did it. And then best gig, the best gig I ever did was I did a house show on a front porch. This was kind of fun in Minneapolis. And instead of like a backyard, it was a front porch, and sure, people that were walking by just stopped and listened and were, you know, dancing, taking videos, whatever. And that was just a lot of fun to be able to share my music with those that were listening through the whole thing, and then those that were just kind of popping by, or like people were coming out on their front porches and listening. And it was a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So speaking of gigs, you have one coming up here in Northfield at the Grand, October 6th, this week on Thursday.
Yeah. Yep.
And it starts at 7 o'clock. This is Songwriters in the Round. It's a series that Mark Ross has put together. I'm not sure if this is the third or fourth, but each time it's filled with wonderful songwriters. And this time you're one of them.
Yes. I've actually gotten to do it another time. And I love getting up on stage with all these super talented musicians. It's like, there'll be three of us at a time on stage, and we each play one song at a time and tell a brief story about the song. So I would go, and then the next person, I would go again. We each share three songs like that. And then there's a break, and everyone can go get a drink and then come back. And then another group of musicians is on stage. And it's just, the time went by so fast, and I had so much fun getting to talk to these people afterwards. And just, it was very good. Very, very good. I was blown away with the amount of talent that was on that stage.
So there you have it, people. If you have time, if you can get out on Thursday and get down to the Grand to see a bunch of really, really talented singer-songwriters and get the stories behind their songs.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity for anybody that likes music in Northfield. So please go out to that. Do you have any other shows coming up here in the next couple months?
Most of what I do right now is private events that I can't just invite anybody to.
Right.
But I am open to booking more house shows this winter. I'm happy to play anywhere and share my songs as long as people are willing to listen. I'm willing to play. And so I don't really have anything public lined up at this time. We have some trips coming up with our family and whatnot, but.
So if people want to get a hold of you for a house gig or for whatever, why don't you give me your online contact information?
Sure. So if you can send me an email, my name is, it's my name, Stroh, Stroh, Mary, Mary, Claire without the I, Clare, @gmail.com. Feel free.
Okay. And then your website is MaryClaireStroh.com. Nice. And then you're also on Facebook.
Yeah. That's an easy one. Mary Claire Stroh on Facebook. Yep.
Awesome. So if you want to book Mary Claire, that's where you do it. If you want to find out, to hear some more of her music, that's where to go. And I just want to really, really thank you for being on the show today. It was great to get to know you.
Yeah. Thank you, Pauline.
I look forward to seeing the show on Thursday. I hope I can get down there and see it. And I hope all of you out there get a chance to do so as well. So thank you and take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Many, many thanks to Mary Claire for this insightful and thoughtful conversation, as well as for sharing her voice and music with us today. Thanks always to Wendy Nordquist and to you, dear listener, for tuning in to Musician Talk on the One, KYMN. Have a stellar day.